Well, we're still in the series of what ifs. And last week we learned a little bit about the what ifs. And last week I just tried to set some type of a foundation for us that we could pull from and extract from the rest of the time. And we learned about some of this this paralyzing state that we find ourselves in sometimes is derived and born from our what ifs. Many of us don't make decisions because we look at our what ifs. I was told one time, even the decision that you don't make is a decision. So whether you find yourself making that decision of not doing something, you're still making a decision. And if you're making a decision of doing something, you're obviously making a decision. But we discovered that the theme of all of this what ifs came from, it wasn't a lack of faith, it was little faith. Y'all remember? We talked about little faith. It's not that we didn't have the faith to get started. It's not that we didn't have the faith to find a way to make the first step or to get moving with an idea or a thought or whatever dream or desire was birthed inside of us. It was the fact that we stopped in the middle of because we run out of faith. Because a lot of the times we will find out that in the midst of our faith working, we have adversity. And when we start sensing adversity and we have these things well up in our lives that may be a stepping stone and we consider them a block, we have a tendency to stop. We have a tendency to go, well, maybe that wasn't God. Okay, I'm the only one that's ever said that. Are y'all with me? You've made a decision to progress in areas in your life. And we can talk about anything, and this can be so wide. But I want you to fill in your own blanks throughout this series. Fill in your own blanks, whatever it is that you're tending to. Some of us, it may be our spiritual growth, where we're setting spiritually. Apparently that's not y'all. Some of us, it may be our physical positioning, where we are in life. Maybe it's our relationships. Am I talking to anybody other than me? Because I can put myself in every area right now that I just spoke. There's things in my life that I've got so many what ifs on. It's a wonder I can see tomorrow because the what ifs has got me so clouded. And what I want to challenge you to do is look beyond your what if and let's look at the hope. Let's look at the possibility that what if I do? Because so many of us, we just sit back and go, well, we don't because, well, what if this and what if that? And it just stops us. And it will stop us in our tracks if we aren't careful. We become stagnant. We have a paralysis. All right. Let's go to 2 Kings because what I'm trying to talk to y'all about right now ain't sinking in. So maybe this will. I know it's been a long holiday. You celebrated the 4th. A lot of ear damage. That's what it is. Father, open their ears that they may hear. That's what it is. It's ear damage from all the noise of the firecrackers. 2 Kings chapter 7. Tommy is where we're going to start. I started at verse 3. I'll read until I'm done. So you might want to pull the whole chapter. I don't necessarily know that I'll stop after the whole chapter or before it. But as I begin to read some of this and start looking into it, I found different areas that we can learn by from these four. 2 Kings chapter 7, starting at verse 3, says, "Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, Why are we sitting here until we die? Some of you need to tie yourself with the group like they had. Some of you are sitting where you're sitting now because you're tied with the wrong people. Because everybody else has jumped in the hole with you. Yeah, I get it. I wouldn't do it either. Oh, I know where that would stop me. I probably wouldn't either. You need some people in your life that tell you to buckle your boots. Wipe your jeans off. Fix your head. Your hair. For some of us. Boy, it's starting to be a fad, I think. I'm not sure. All right, let me behave. Now, I'm not going to behave this morning because I kept wanting to put down. I really tried to write notes, and I just got that far. I kept wanting to write down that some of you. I actually wrote that on a couple pieces of paper that I balled up and threw in the trash. I wrote that some of you. And the Holy Spirit kept telling me, no, it's somebody. Every area that I began to look and God began to show me this morning, He took away some of you and He kept saying, no, somebody. So you're sitting here this morning and you think this message is for someone else? You'll never be set free until you accept where you are. You better recognize how do I set personally? How do I fit in with the kingdom ideology? How do I fit there? Am I really chosen? Y'all making this hard. Give me a firecracker. You know what I've done to the kids? I see them sitting there already. I want to use them. Huh? Uh-huh. I got to use them. I'm going to help y'all out. Who got to see fireworks? All right, some of you didn't. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do it. You ready? There's your fireworks. Man, eventually stop being so stiff-necked up in church. It will not hurt you. Your face will not break if you smile. Your voice will, you won't lose your voice if you amen once in a while. Your legs won't hurt if you stand up every once in a while. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city," now this is where they're from. I don't know how this is going to go. All right, God, let's just go. They're saying if we go back to the city, If we go where we came from, if we go where we feel that we have our tie to, our membership to, if we go back to where we have our citizenship to, there's a famine in that land. How many more years are you going to live for God wanting to go back? Look at me. I want to see the whites of your eyes. How many more years are you determined to live for God and you're wanting to go back? Because after all, it made more sense there. I fit in. Everybody there had the same goals, the same desires, the same woes are me. Let me read through this just so I can talk. Y'all okay? Every time I stop, there's just more. If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. Rocky, gotta finish. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. I mean, this didn't take some doctorate. They said, if we keep sitting where we at, we gonna die right here. And if we go back, we already know what's there. It's a famine. We gonna die there. They made a decision based on a what if. They made a decision based on what they did not see with the hopes. Would you start living with a hope? Would you hope that there's something new in God? Amen. And hope so much so that it will cause you to move. Rocky, you got to finish. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. Has God ever shocked you? For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. Can I tell you that your hope can make noise? Can I tell you that your hope puts a sound out that scares the enemy? If the church would get a hold of that, if the church would walk in a hope. Well, Pastor, what happened to faith? You don't have faith without hope. Amen. Come on. Say it again. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the action of the things hoped for. Yes. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." I want to go back. I want to tear this apart. We've already talked about the four leprous men. If you're tired of sitting where you're sitting because of an ailment, Can I just use the leprosy? You fill in the blank. Let's take out leprosy and let you fill in the blank. Yeah. You're setting in depression, so you talk to people depressed. Yes. Right. You're setting in lack, so you hang out with people with lack. Yep. You're setting in spiritual despair, right, so you hang out with people no spirituality whatsoever. Fill in the blank. Stop sitting with those that do not push or provoke you to move deeper into the things of God. Get away from those that are comfortable and complacent and will sit right beside and love it. They don't care if you move or not. People will like you as long as you're on their level. As soon as you begin to move further or deeper in God, or you begin to grow a better hope, a bigger hope, people will begin to start hating. And you'll have friends in your church group that will walk away from you because you have made a decision that you're going to live holy. You'll have people turn their back on you because you go, no, I don't care how pretty it is outside. Today's Sunday. We've set an appointment. We've made an appointment with God. And it's Sunday at 10 o'clock, and we do this as a family. We do this as a corporate gathering. And I don't care how pretty and how nice. Oh, it looks good for a bike ride in the morning, but what about in the evening when you get home and then your wife's hating on you? And then... We need to start putting ourselves in touch with people that have some of the same desires and the same hopes as we do. We need to find good friendship. The people that you've been turning your back on in the past couple of years are the very ones that God's put in your life. So that they can push you beyond your limits. Yeah. We talked about it last week. The what ifs, they're all tied to you wanting to be in control. Yeah. That's why you, what if, well, what if, well, what if, what if. That means that you've lost control. Yeah. You don't like it, do you? Got to be in control. Blessing, Lord. They were sitting at the entrance of the gate. There were laws that were set up for lepers. They would live outside the gates of the city to not infect those in the city. They would live on the outskirts of the city. They had to come by people, and they had to yell at people. Let me back up. Living outside the gates. That's where a lot of you right now are living, girl. Lord Jesus. Girl. Y'all don't understand. See, you don't see what I see. When I see a pregnant woman going, I'm going. Everything inside me turned to flip. Jesus. We're setting outside the gates of the city. See, sometimes your leprosy, remember what I told you, we was talking about leprosy, fill in the blank. Sometimes your leprosy pushes you outside of what you were once connected to. Just to get you having another evaluation. You know, sometimes your leprosy will move you outside the gates. Sometimes your leprosy will move you outside the boundaries of your limitations. Is it better? So that it will free you to see more than what you were accustomed to. See, when we go to church, I'm going to offend every one of you in here and everybody watching. When we go to church, Our limitations are within the four walls of the house in which we're being groomed by. Because some will come to church, never say amen, not one time. You'd have to put a gun to the head to get them to say something. And then it probably still wouldn't be say amen. They'd be going, whoa! But that would be okay too sometime. Sometimes people raise their hands in churches. Sometimes people come to the altar before service. Sometimes people just sing all through service. Sometimes bobby pins fly. If you've never been accustomed to that, you haven't been to a holiness church. But here we are within, and I'm not saying that those, listen, I'm not saying that those limitations are bad. Hear me. What I'm saying is when we're inside of those limitations and those boundaries, that is what we know God by because it's our experience. Don't tell me, don't lie in church. You place the power in God based on your experience level with Him. Yes, you do. This is why you what if Him. God is giving you a leprosy. I don't want to say He's giving you one. But sometimes He'll send. Sometimes He will send. He sent it on Saul, didn't He? Read your word. Sometimes God will allow your leprosy, fill in the blank, to move you outside your limitations. Dear God in heaven, please move us. If next Sunday is like this Sunday, if next month is like this month, if next year is like this year, girl, help me preach it. What are we doing? We are worshiping God. We are hoping in God. We are believing in God for those things in which we've already experienced. Nothing more, nothing less. See, okay, I hurt your feelings. Because you refuse to move in church, don't blame the church. Because you refuse to step into the pools, don't you blame the church. Listen, everybody in here has an individual call placed in their life. It's individual. But there's also things that help the corporate based on your individuality. If God is trying to move you, Sarah, this is what may happen. God moves Sarah, then Abraham moves. Abraham moves, then the kids move. And the next thing you know, we have a whole nation in the house that's praising God because one individual decided to step a little deeper and stop setting and wasting away in the normal. We ain't even got past the first. We're setting outside of the gates. I believe that everybody in here right now, everybody, not somebody, not some of you, everybody in here right now has been positioned outside the gates of the city. What are you doing about it? Amen. You can't go back. If you go back, you already know what's there. Guess what? You're going to die. They said, if we go back, we going to die. If we go back, we going to die. Don't take this so... take this spiritually, would you? There's things that God's setting you in paths for. It's going to blow your mind. But your problem is your what if. Your what if has become your hindrance to exploring the opportunity of what God's got in store for you. What He has already put in place. See, we always think He needed more time to build the promise before He put the Israelites in the promise. No, He was trying to fix the people before they got to the promise so they wouldn't mess it up. That's what He's doing with you right now. But see, you're sitting there. You're contemplating on the what ifs. You refuse to move forward. God, I'm not saying amen this morning. I'm not raising my hand. I'm not singing. I'm not clapping my hand. And then they said, if we sit here, we will surely die. Keep sitting where you are. Why won't you believe that God's got something deeper? Why? Why can't you believe that God's got something more? The Bible says that He is multidimensional. That means that no matter where you move, you're going to see something new. You're going to see something different. You're going to see something you've never experienced. You're going to see things that now He begins to have you hoping for. But because you decide on the what if, and you just decide to sit, because what if I go back there, I'm going to die. If I sit here, I'm going to surely die. If I go over there, there's a possibility of me dying. I don't know about you, but I know about them. They said, hey, I'm going to bank on the possibility of I'm not going to die. They seen, y'all didn't see how they changed that up? They said, if I go back, I'm going to die. That was a given. Guarantee. If I go in it, I'm dying. We'll cancel that one. If I sit here, I'm going to surely die. Have you ever been faced with life and it's only given you three choices? One was to die, two was to surely die, and three was a possibility of dying. Have you ever said, the perch of what if, that's where you sat. Well, 6 years has passed by and you still won't raise your hand in church. You still won't, come on, you lift holy hands. See, y'all, read your Bible. Every hand posture is a possibility for God. Amen. See, when I raise my hands like this, I'm giving Him praise. I'm making Him bigger. When I raise my hands like this, I am submitting. I am opening up. God, pour into me. Whatever it is that You've got for me, let me have it. I surrender. And y'all sit like you. And leave. I go, man, I just ain't getting nothing. You're right. You done shut your ever-loving door. God been knocking ever since you got out of bed. And you going like this. Don't. If you open the door, I'm coming. They're setting. And they're trying to figure this whole deal out. Because they were tired of being where they were. Are you tired? Some of you running wild with this right now. I see it in your eyes. I'm going to reel you back in and ground your feet. I'm talking spiritually. See, that's the problem with us now. We've gotten so tied up, we want to have our what ifs, and everything is all about us, and we have to be in control. Well, here's the problem with doing a millennia type church. Look around. Some 30-somethings. Here's the problem with it. We're in a society right now that it's all about me.
Yeah. True. Yeah. The world.
Could y'all imagine if I opened up a Starbucks and give free start? Man, people like y'all, you kill it. Y'all be iced coffeeing me to death, man. You be bringing people up in the house that I ain't never seen before. Huh? I'm willing to make the investment. You willing to bring them? I'm willing to make the investment. I'll put a Starbucks out. We'll just put the sign. But I'll put a Starbucks out there. Look, the Holy Spirit's better than any double shot of espresso you'll ever get. If you just open up. Stop being a dud. That's half the problem. It's got to be all about us. What's in it for me? Yeah. I'll go to your church, but what do they have?
Yeah. Come on.
Somebody. Now he go help me preach. Do you see where I'm coming from? We walk in with our expectation of being filled.
Yes.
Instead of coming to church and filling others.
Yes. Right.
We're on a gas shortage. This pump's running empty. Stop relying on him to fill your tank. Why don't you fill his?
Yes.
Do not forsake the gathering of one another, that you may encourage. I know that ain't what you've been hearing preached. It's always been about, you didn't come to church, don't forsake the gathering. It's condemnation.
Right.
You know what that is? It's a liar from hell standing behind a pulpit.
Yeah.
Manipulating. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you all of it. It might not help my pocketbook, but I'm going to tell it all. You're so tied up in getting something for you. Somebody right beside you is dying. But because Pastor didn't preach, he didn't preach on Jonah, so I really like that story. If he preached on Jonah, then I could have come and loved on her. But because he preached on the leprous men, who wants to hear about leprous men? That's why you leave empty. Listen, the moment that this word can't be preached and you get full is the moment you've shut God off. He ain't shut you off. He didn't fail. You failed. I tell you every time, read the Bible, get in it. Make yourself one of these leprous men. I want to know the first guy that said, hey, if we sat here, I want to know that guy. I want to meet that. See, y'all want to meet Peter and Moses, and I want to meet that guy. Because that guy's helping me right now. He's giving me that there is a sense of hope. As long as I get outside of my what if. He said, Rocky, there's a chance. There is a possibility that they'll keep us alive. You had two other choices, and both of them was to your demise, without question. They said, I'm going to die over there, and I'll surely die here. Then they said, but if we go over there, I know it's the enemy camp. Oh, I know it's a place I've never been. It's a place I've never really wanted to go. Mm-mm. Nah, I want God to have everything in me, but Jesus, don't baptize me with your spirit. Now, you be Lord over here, and boy, smoking me, you wearing me out over here. And now, all of a sudden, I'm outside the city. I've tried going back. It just didn't feel right. I think God's going, hey, I want to take you to somewhere. I want to move you into something more. But because you won't surrender, you still fight me. You still keep putting up your little crosses. Y'all know how y'all do. Pastor come walking in. Y'all be doing that to the pastor. I'm coming. But here these gentlemen are. They finally decided that, you know what? What do I have to lose? I've always said the most dangerous person that you could ever hire is somebody that has nothing to lose. Ain't got nothing to lose. They'll do anything. Shoot, entrepreneurs. You put an entrepreneur in a spot where he has nothing to lose. There's some stuff probably going to happen. As long as he can get past his what if. As long as he's not tied to his what if. As long as he's not bound in his boundaries of his what ifs. As long as he has faith, not little. Don't just take the first step and then there's a uh-oh and then you say, well, it must not be. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing with God in our relationships. You want deeper. You taste deeper. You go, whoa, wait a minute, 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 wait a minute. My boundaries, my boundaries, my boundaries. That never happened. That never happened in our church. That can't be God. Now judge every spirit. But don't tell me, because you never seen a healing, that God's not the healer. We're gonna have a talk. Don't tell me that I got to live in lack the rest of my life when the Bible tells me that he is Jehovah Jireh. He's El Shaddai. More than enough. Just trying to help you. Who are you relying on? What are you relying on? See, you want to be so in control that you go set at the gate the rest of your life. Because you're not sure what's going to happen over there, but you know what's going on right here. You know I'm going to die. I'm going to surely die right here. So my expectations, oh man, don't you hate it when your heart places a demand on your expectation and it calls for you to begin to act like? It causes you to begin to think like, talk like. It won't let you sit no more. The expectation that's been stirred up in your spirit now is calling out a demand. You can't sleep. No matter what you do, everything's falling apart. Your expectation is still this, but you're standing right here and you're wanting to know why. Oh, ye of little faith. Yeah. If God's calling you over there, why aren't you going? Yeah. What are you waiting on? Yeah. Some people get nervous when I look in their eyes. I'm sorry. Why does it bother you so much when God says, hey, you ever had him walk in your bedroom and say, hey, psst, Rocky, come spend some time with me. See, y'all, I'm telling you now, you ever put yourself in a place that God's got free will? I love my sleep. Girl, I need it too. You're receiving that for you, not for me, right? Oh. All right. Am I okay? I look okay. Talk about that beauty sleep that we lack. But God will come to you in the most inopportune times for you. Look through the Bible, man. He didn't use people that had it together. Everybody he used was jacked up. I heard you. I don't know who you were, but somebody was flipping through the pages. Well, what about Noah? Noah was jacked up too. He got drunk at the end of the day. He was jacked up too. God just wants you to know nobody's perfect. What you're worried about is using, oh, no, you're going, I can't do that because I don't have. And God's saying, look, if you just shut your mouth, open your hands and move your feet, I'll give you what you need. You've got all that. He looked at Moses and said, what is it that you got in your hand? But you know, throw the stick down. Okay. How long are you going to sit outside the gate? You've isolated yourself because of your leprosy. I don't fit in. So I'm going to move out. Oh, I won't go to this home group or I won't hang out with these people because their spirituality, they just seem like they're deeper. Get in the middle of it. Listen, if you don't know what you're doing, it don't even matter. Let them drag you. Why not? Do you know that there is such a thing as an overflow? You can be a part of an overflow and don't even know what it is. But boy, when you left, woo! I'm going back next week. Oh, it's once a month? Can we do it every week? Look, the church, you've lost your excitement. You've lost expectation. You've lost the belief. You've lost the faith that God can do above and beyond. And you want to complain about your surrounding. But you're sitting at the gate. Lepers was moved outside. Lepers also had to go like this. Unclean, unclean, unclean. Somebody, almost says some of y'all. Tie that tongue, Holy Spirit. Somebody has been running around too long in their life going, unclean, unclean. Because your leprosy has moved you outside the gate. And you're telling everybody else what you don't have. Man, I want to be a part of that ministry, but I don't have the time, Brother Aaron. I really want to get involved with some stuff. But I just, it's just not my calling. Oh, that one smacked somebody in the face right there. They hated it. They're leaving today going, ooh, I'm mad at the preacher. You run around telling everybody why you can't, why nothing's happening in your life, why you can't seem to get ahead, and why this doesn't seem to work out, Miss Pat. It's just, it's whoa, unclean, unclean. And you wonder why the people that are doing aren't coming. Unclean. I don't want to hear that garbage every day either. Stop telling me about your unclean and say, hey, pastor, what do you want me to do? I'm open. Use me. Let me serve the church. What you got for me? Unclean. Come on. Somebody's sitting here, right? That's what you're doing. Hey, can everybody look at me? I want to see the whites of everybody's eyes. Somebody's sitting in here, and that's what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Unclean. Unclean. It's no wonder you're still sitting at the gate. You exclude yourself. See, there was an exclusion put on them. You exclude yourself from other things.
Yep.
Exclude yourself from prayer night. Oh, I'm coming. I feel my help. I'm coming.
Yep.
You exclude yourself from prayer night because after all, it's just prayer and I got stuff to do. I mean, ain't nothing really happening. They just praying and I'm busy. It's been a long week. You worked on Monday. You want to know what's going to make it a long week? Your tail sitting at the house after a long Monday.
Absolutely. That's right. Get rejuvenated.
Come on, preacher. I know y'all want pastor. Pastor ain't here today. He's on vacation. Preacher is here. You exclude yourself. You don't want to be a part of this group or be a part of, well, that's not really, we don't like to kayak, so we don't really, you know, we don't like the water. Find somewhere else. Matter of fact, we got some openings in the children's department.
Yeah.
Unclean! Unclean! Come on, I'm serious right now. You're sitting outside the city gates wondering why you ain't moving. You're hanging out with the wrong crowd because you can't get the crowd. Oh, you can't get the crowd that you need to help pull you or to kick you in the glory. Best word I could come up with. I said, okay. I won't get screamed at after church for that one. Because I wanted to say kick you in the butt to get you moving. Listen, I ain't got to give you the better half. You get it all or nothing. Total transparency. Yeah, I'm a preacher and I say but. Say it ain't so. You're wanting to. Now let me help you. Let me help you right here. You feel as though you want to go deeper. You feel as though you want to experience more of what God has. God positions you outside of the city to where you were once connected. You've been moved now. You've been exonerated. If you're not churchy, you don't really understand. But set you out at the gate. And he says, now listen. If you'll take the situation that you're in and use it for fuel, you can get started to where I want to take you.
Yes.
But you have to make the move. Mm-hmm. You think that you want to go. The whole desire is there. I mean, some of you, you're still praying about it. Oh, God, please use me in that area. I really want to do that. And it's just burning inside, and I want to do it. But you won't get up and grab a mic.
Yeah. Come on.
I felt like I had a magnet in my head. Go over here. It's less powerful over here. Come on. And you know I'm joking, right? Okay. Take it with what you will.
Yeah.
If it's enough to provoke you, God bless you.
Yeah.
But if you sit here,
yeah,
I'll surely die.
Yep.
You want more of him?
Yeah.
Woohoo. Be careful.
Because
he'll put stuff in you.
Yes, he will.
And see, he's going to challenge you on the lack that you have.
Yeah.
If you're waiting on him, oh, well, my gifting is doing this for the church and that's my gift, and I'm just waiting on the Lord to call me. And no, that your gifting is what you already do.
Yeah.
Your gifting has a way to put you in. The gifting will make room for you. I'll give you scripture if that's what you need. You don't have to wait for God to use you. Your gifting will make room for that. Your character is what will keep you there. But your gifting will make room. You don't have to go, well, I'm gifted with serving, and I just want to serve. But you ain't moving. That's not your gifting. Your gifting won't let you sit.
Yes.
Ask me how I know. Tried it. It won't let you sit. It will bring you to uncomfortable places in your life. You will have to put yourself before people sometime. You've got to be, you'll walk in a posture of humility.
Yes. Yes.
See, when you, oh man, I wish I had time. Y'all busy?
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in humility, your gifting only becomes larger. What happens when your gifting becomes larger, it becomes full of an anointing. Okay, go back to scripture. Gifting's not for you.
That's right.
Everything that God has gifted you with, whatever you think your gifting is right now, it's not for you. It's not for you to make money for your house. It's not for you to be large and in charge. It's not for you to have all the muscles bigger than Aaron's. It ain't meant for. What your gifting is to help Aaron get his muscle. So when you walk in humility, this allows the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? Stick with me and say, when you walk in humility, your gifting becomes larger. The anointing begins to flow from your gifting. Lives are changed.
Yes.
I'm not going to go through every gifting. But I'm telling you, the gifting that you carry, you will operate in it without God going, hey, you mind doing this? Because it's in you. When he created you, he put it in you. Smack him again. When you misbehave up in this church, boy, even the children. So you excuse yourself. You won't be a part of. because of your leprosy. I don't fit in, and I don't really like what they do. Okay. You like what you're doing? Charlie, you good with sitting outside the gate all by yourself knowing that's where you go die if that's where you sit? You good with that? Are you willing to get outside and say, okay, there's a possibility. Watch what happens with this possibility. Oh, this is good. There's that possibility. We're almost done. I'm about halfway through. There's a possibility now. All I have to do. Oh, but wait. Wait. Tommy, get me on the screen. Come on. Not me, the scrisker. Give me, watch. Surrender the army series. No. I can't see it up here. Mind your business. Five, Tommy, five. Verse five. Or verse five. Where is it? All right, there it is. I knew it was there. And they rose at twilight. This is how good God's grace is. He knows that while you're sitting in your leprosy, and you're contemplating the what ifs, he can't do anything with you because you're focusing on. He caught him at twilight. Ain't that daylight? That's in the morning, right? It's a new. You can sing better than I can. You want me to sing? I'll sing it if you don't. It's a new, right? What is that? There's a new. Girl, you got to go. Sing. I wonder how many of these four contemplated all night. Some of your biggest storms are at night, right? They call that the night seasons. That's your biggest struggles at night. You can't see. You're tired. Come on, just follow. Just want to lay down. Want to give up. They're having to contemplate this now overnight. The hardest part. Oh, wait, watch. Just hang on. This is just how God gives me my mind. I'm sure those four didn't sleep together. I'm sure they had separate. Watch what happens at night. You can't see, so you can't fight what you can't see. You're having a hard time. God already knows. If he tries to jump in now, you ain't even going to recognize him. Y'all know y'all don't recognize God in a storm. Yeah. Every time a storm rises up, man, you focus. You are pinpointed on that storm, boy. It's the light bill. It's the marital problem. You tired? It's nighttime. You've been working all day. You've been struggling all day. You're tired. You ready to go to bed. Come on. So then we go our separate ways, and now I got to fight by myself. How many of you ever failed fighting by yourself? It's why you better get a friend. You better get somebody you can call that will get in the ditch and fight with you. You better stop hanging around the people that ain't grabbing you by your hand and saying, no, nah, you going to go. Yeah. You going to prayer service this Tuesday. It ain't this Tuesday. No, why I don't want to know everything going on in the church. Because I don't want to be subdued by what you think I'm preaching about. Well, it's about me. I've been talking to him. We had lunch 6 times last week. And he knows everything about my life. And now he's up there talking about it. He's using me as an example. I don't care. I don't want to know who tithes. I don't even look at the money. Don't even touch the money. I don't care who was here when I'm not here. It doesn't matter to me, because when I get up and preach, I'm going to preach. Doesn't matter. If it hurts your feelings, get right with Jesus. It's that simple. So we fight these fights by ourselves, secluded. God knows that we're tired. God knows there ain't no way he's going to break through right now. He is the furthest thing from your mind in the midst of war. Yes, come on, I wish you would be honest. Because you're trying to figure out how to get out. You're trying to figure out how you even got in. But there came a day that they took a step. They begin walking towards the possibility of living. There's something that when they get to the camp and nobody's there, there's victory won, right? They didn't have to fight. They've been fighting their what ifs all night. God said, I'll just let you sit in it. I'll take care of it in the morning when it's a fresh day. Because with every new day, come on, y'all, there's new mercy.
Yes.
Read your Bible. We're going to start having Bible class on Wednesdays. Oh, we already do that. But they get there and everything is done. Their food's there for substance. Can I switch your mind? A healing took place. God bless you. But it's just like you and I. A healing took place. See, when a healing takes place on the lepers, there were some things that were set up in Leviticus 13 and 14 on how they had to do these things. When they knew that the priest couldn't heal them, but the priest had to be the authority figure, if you will, for the people, in the sight of the people, to say that they're clean. So there were some things they had to do in a 7-day period. They had to shave their head at the beginning. They had to wash their clothes. Then they had to wash themselves. And then on the 7th day, they had to shave their head again. They had to wash themselves again and wash their clothes again. And then the priest would take 2 birds, 2 doves. He would kill one, and he would sprinkle that blood over them. He would take the other dove and let it go. Was a sign that it was a sign. What? Y'all hard, man. Sprinkling the blood on their head. It's just what happened to you and I. Yeah. I'm taking you right back to the birth of salvation, if you'll walk with me for a minute. He took the dove. He sprinkled the blood. That blood representing the blood of Christ.
Yes.
That was sprinkled on the mercy seat for you and I. Over you and I.
Yes.
See, you're covered in the blood.
Yes.
And see, there was a moment that they had to wash their clothing. It's the same thing that we've done. It's the same thing that we do in our salvation. That is the working out of your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's the working out. See, God calls you to be holy,
yes,
for he is holy. there are things in your life that you have to make a decision on to step away from. That's where repentance comes from. I know this is going to be hard right now because it's back in the old time things when they would scare you from hell to heaven, right? You got saved because you didn't want to get your feet on fire. There's something about repentance that's been a lie for years. Jesus said on the cross, before we said anything, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them. He was the propitiation of our sins, right? He is the one that set us from captivity. We've been set free now because he said, "Father, forgive them." Now, watch. Watch how this works. No, it's not his death and your works that get you saved. It has nothing to do about that. It is because of his death and his burial and his resurrections that you and I have life, and we have it more abundantly. But the problem is we decide that our life is ours. So we're going to take, this is what I call spitting in the face of grace. We're going to take the grace in which we've been afforded, and we're going to choose to live our life the way we want to live our life, still dependent upon the blood of Christ for our salvation. You can't have it both ways. This is what happens. We are to take off the old man. Some of us struggle with the jacket. It gets a little tight and we can't get it over our shoulder. But we're to take off the old man. It's like a suit. You take off the old man before you put on the new. Yeah. It's taking off is the hard part. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we love him. He said, "If you love me, you will obey me." He didn't say, "If you want to be saved." Come on. Come on, church. Oh, boy, here I come, religion. He didn't say, "If you will do this, then you can be saved." He died for that. I don't care how many times you tithe. Don't care how many cigarettes you smoke. Don't care about how many beers you drink or how much weed you... Never mind. Listen. It's not up to me to clean you up. If you truly love God, there are things that you have to arrest in your life. Your bitterness, your anger, your deceitfulness, your witchcraft. That's left up to you. Why are you always putting it on him? God, take this from me, and every time you go by 7-Eleven, got to get a pack of smokes. God, take this from me, but boy, that wooden cork. A little bubbly. Look, I'm sorry. Y'all think I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you with that. It was for me. Because see, when I walked past the 7-Eleven or drove past 7-Eleven, when I had a desire, when I was sitting at the gate, I had a desire to stop smoking. There was something inside that said, "Man, you need to give that up. That's just you being in control." And I didn't understand any of that. I said, "It's an addiction." And it was. Yeah. Listen, was smoking cigarettes harder than quitting cocaine? Uh-huh. Girl, we supposed to be so holy that we untouchable. We ain't never supposed to have been on nothing. We ain't never supposed to have done nothing. We wasn't born saved, brother. I wasn't. I was born in sin, in iniquity. But I would fight. I'd fight until I seen the 7-Eleven. Get me a... Now listen, I tried because I stopped buying cartons and I went down to like two packs when I stopped. get two packs so I didn't have to go. I didn't want to have to go back at the end of the day, too, because I smoke a pack a day. Girl, you better witness to me. Come on. And then I would fight through that. And then one day I had it. I had control. I quit. And I told, I quit. 7 days. Man, I got this thing beat. And she comes home on the 8th day. New beginnings. Smoke every one of these. Wow! She slammed a whole carton of cigarettes down on the kitchen table.
Yes, I did.
Smoke every last one of them. I was just... I would never say that about you. Crushed. Crushed. I was hateful. I was mean. Why? Because I was in control. I was fixing me. I was doing it all for the wrong reasons. Because when I first got saved, now for 2 years... Y'all believe what you want to believe. You can believe that I would have went to hell if it, you can believe what you want to believe. I'm just telling you, I was saved for 2 years going. I was doing everything that I needed to do and everything that I thought I could do within the power of myself. And I was staying in His Word, and I was hoping that eventually He would get through this thick head of mine. But for 2 years, I wouldn't talk to you about Jesus. I was saved. See, I don't have the testimony y'all got. Oh, man, when I was saved, I talked to everybody. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't. There was something in the back of my neck. They kept saying, your testimony is destroyed because you're smoking cigarettes. You can't tell nobody about the love of Jesus because you're smoking cigarettes. Come on, religion. Get up in here. Let me smack. I'll bust you in the face. I hate religion. Let me tell you, the love of God doesn't change because I'm smoking. But I believed it. Took 2 years. And one day I realized I was an idiot. True story. Putting a grill together in the garage after church on a Sunday, holy day. I'm smoking my cigarette, putting the grill together. I thought I needed another one. So I got another one. I got one in my mouth. And I went, you're an idiot. And I wrung out the pack. And for the first time, I took the lighter with the pack, tossed it in the trash. We put the dumpster together. We put the grill together. And God took the taste out of my mouth. Why? Because I surrendered. But I done it with a love for Him. And it took me being called an idiot from me. Y'all don't have to, I know, Holy Spirit needs to coddle most of y'all. Because if He ever come at y'all like He come at me, it'd run every one of you away from the gospel. Because sometimes, hey, stupid, come here. You can't do that. You know how we used to talk about, man, we can't get away with nothing. Anytime I try, I can't get away with nothing. Because the Holy Spirit comes rushing in. What are you doing? Do you honestly think you're going to, do you think you can get by with that? Be like your picture you sent me. I ain't got my phone. It was Jesus looking around the corner. Bless you. These women sneezing. At least she ain't pregnant. But there's this purification that took place when they stepped away from the gates. It's just like you and I. Well, what if... What if this whole God thing is a hoax? What if it's not? Right. Well, what if I go over there and it doesn't happen? What if it does? Right. Well, what if it's not what I'm expecting? Well, what if it is? And these lepers get healed. I'm talking about you lepers now, not them. But that little ritual that they had to do, watch, they'd done this ritual. They sprinkled the blood over their head outside of the gates, outside of the city. Who else's blood was shed? Outside. Come on, church. Y'all better read your Bible a minute. It's just a representation of us being brought from a place of leprosy into a place of wholeness, to a place of healing. But if you want to move, you have to move. He's already done the first step. He put you by the gate. Well, I wish God would have created me with a silver spoon in my mouth. No, because if he did, you'd never want him. He decided to create you with a thorn so that you would come back not once, not twice, but three times. And I'm sure just because he prayed, I'm sure he, Jesus, I already know about this thorn and you won't take it from me, but I'm not happy with it. I'm sure there were some moments like that. He was human, just like you and I. You know, when God doesn't fix it immediately or at all. And we go, but God, you didn't do that the last time. Why should I pray this time? Oh, ye of little faith. You had enough faith to pray for the first time, but you got disappointed because it left that open door. Y'all remember that open door of disappointment? Because there's always that open door. Just as soon as you pray to God, there's an open door of disappointment in the back because that answer may not come the way you want it to come. Will you pray again? Helicopter. I'm done. I don't have no more. I'm sorry. It's not set up for ABC, and I bring you in for a nice, smooth land. Sometime I'll drop you on your head. It's okay. It'll be all right. Who are you that was spoke to this morning? You've been put outside the gate. You're wondering why your life's in turmoil? You're wondering why there's issues flaring up? Girl, Jesus. You wonder why some things in life just doesn't seem to be working out the way you want it to? You've been tempted to go back to where you were. Because after all, you were comfortable there. You knew what to expect. They had biscuits and gravy every morning. But where I'm at, it's unknown. Where I got to go, I don't even know if they have food. But God's trying to move us. See, oh man, the procession. Where he placed us, where he moved us, and where he wants us to be. There's a procession. There's an order. There's a method to his madness. You just got to be willing to trust in him. Let yourself go. Don't you be tied up. Let yourself go. Don't let the what ifs become your prison. Doesn't need to be. YouTube, Facebook. See you. How long are you gonna sit at the gate? You ready to move yet? No, we won't move this Sunday. We'll do it next Sunday. But what if I do it now? Then does that mean I've got? Yeah, you have to change. Yeah. You couldn't join a church and do any old thing you wanted to do and still be a part of that church. They broke it down to you privately. Then they took a brother with them. Then they brought the whole congregation. And then they put you out. You can't, You can't live a Christian life any old way you want to. Be mad at me. I don't care. Salvation's not Burger King. You can't have it your way. He died for you. That's why I don't like this thing of Jesus come live into my heart. That's why I don't like sinners' prayers. That's why I judge me later. But why do I want to lead somebody into this mentality? I know it may not come out this way, but this is what's happening. Jesus come live in my heart. Now he's got to be confined to your capabilities, to your boundary. Because your heart is wicked. There's spots in your heart he can't get into because you won't let him. What if we turned it around and said, God, make me a part of the kingdom. Put me in your kingdom. He's got a big puzzle. Y'all know Jesus likes puzzles, right? And each one of us is a piece. And he's sitting at his table every morning. Because you don't, you're supposed to do last week, he put you in your place. Now you've become a part of the kingdom. You've connected a couple other things. And now he's went to another one. And Dawn, guess what? You slipped up and said something nice this morning to Dennis. And he said, that was a key. Look, see, I try to be light about this, but I'm trying to be serious about this all at the same time. God is trying to put you in your place in the kingdom. But you're so concerned with religion and having him come into your heart and you not, that we're reducing him to our level. We're bringing him down to our mentality. And he says, come up here. He don't need to dumb down the gospel. If you think the gospel's offensive, then the gospel's offensive. I'll just help you. You don't have to contemplate it. But he's not going to reduce or dumb it down so that your little finite mind can wrap itself around it. He wants you to move. Quit getting hung up on your what ifs.
I just want to say, before I started coming here, I was extremely depressed. I was down. I was done. And the night before, I read Megan's post asking for donations. I prayed and said, look, I need something to change or I'm going to die before my girl can come. The next day, I ran across Megan's said, hey, I got some stuff. Where can I meet you? She said, well, I'll be here Saturday. She didn't even tell me that it was a church. She said,
shame on you. I'm joking.
But she said, I'll be here this day.
This.
She said,
I should have known. I should have known it was you.
She said, from such and such
it's
time.
It's one of the five.
Bring it to me. And I said, okay.
Four.
I come. Four. Find out that it's a church and that they're having women's Bible study. And I'm like, hey, this is interesting. I sat down in that Bible study and my eyes flew wide open. I went home, told both of my girls, hey, y'all want to go to church tomorrow? Because I think I found us a new church. This was in February, correct, Megan? Since that time, I have surrendered to God.
Amen.
Every time I turn around between Debbie's health and Dawn's, I have surrendered every single problem that I have had to God.
Amen.
Since then, my wounds have been healed. I have been discharged from lymphedema therapy. I have lost 41 pounds. I've lost over 10 centimeters per leg of fluid in my body. My heart is in the process. my church band. She's in my pastor. He is awesome. I said, not only is he cool and awesome and preaches the word, I said, he's got a Harley, which makes him even cooler. And they look at it, and they look at me and they're like, are you serious? He's got a Harley? I said, yes. I said, this man is so amazing. I said, and he doesn't sugarcoat nothing.
Yes.
I said, when he comes and he preaches, he tells you like it is, and if you don't like it, guess what? Get over it. And I'm going to tell you, I have loved every time I have come in here. Whether you have hit me in a note where I'm like, no, I'm not that happy with him right now, but you know what? He's got a point. So thank you for that. And I just what you preached on today reiterated everything that I have learned in here so far between God put me here. And my girls, especially this one, has caught fire for God because of this church helping her. She used to shy away from people. She did not like talking to people about God. And ever since she started going to Level Up and she started coming to service, I've watched this kid walk up to strangers who have teenagers while we're grocery shopping and say, hey, if you're not doing nothing Wednesday night and y'all don't have a church, please come to our church. You'll have a great time. Our youth pastors are this and this. I mean,
we'll let her lead the outreach.
I mean, she has done caught the firebug for God, and I am so thankful this church.
Listen, guys, I want you to understand something. Your limitations are you. Until you decide. If you wouldn't have took a step, you're sitting in here this morning and some of you are so hell-bent about taking a step, you're going to walk out of here this morning and not change nothing. You're not going to take a step into anything. You're going to come back next Sunday, and you're going to put on your facade just like you did today and come in holier than thou, and everything's good, and there's no issues in life. And you're going to leave next Sunday the same way you left this Sunday. You've got to change. The gospel demands change. I told you I was done. I'm done. Let's stand. I told you I was done. If y'all sat up here and seen some of the expressions I see from these pregnant women, y'all would be edgy too.
You know she's going to drop it right there on Sunday. There will be one Sunday she'll drop it.
Let this morning challenge you, would you? Would you be so humble enough to let this word challenge you to not do the same thing this week that you done last week? And I'm not saying, you're not going to be any more saved. I'm not telling you that. You're not going to be any more saved next week than you are right now. But what I will tell you is you'll begin to walk closer to God. Let me help you. It's going to get hot. So many times you can bring your excuse to God. You can't do it how you want to do it. Clean hands and a pure heart. That's the only thing to touch a mountain. That's why some of you struggle. Listen, I'm going to just be frank with you right now. Instead of being rocky with you, I'm going to be frank. You come in here and you raise filthy hands. You offer up dirty sacrifices to God. And you get upset when nothing changes in your life. You live your life how you want to live it during the week, except on Wednesday and Sunday. And the rest of the time, man, you don't want pastor meddling in your business, and I'm meddling right now. You better come to a realization, he bought you with a price. It's not yours. And I'm not telling you to be one of the freaky people either. Don't spook me every time you come talk to me, thinking you got to lay hands on me, speaking in tongues and prophesying over my grandchildren. You'll spook me. I'm not going to say there's not a time and a place for that, but don't be that person every day. You don't have to beat people in the head with a Bible to lead them to Christ. You, Miss Pat, you can just smile at somebody. And they go, that's, you know what? Nobody has smiled at me all day. And it's going to open a door that you can talk about the joy that you walk in daily because of who your God is. Yeah.